Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of MCM Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you?
Doing good. What's going on, Jimmy?
Not too much. Getting ready for week two. Obviously, week one didn't go the way that we hoped it would go. And if you missed that episode, we Monday afternoon recorded a podcast kind of recapping that game and, you know, what went right and wrong and all that stuff. So you can go back and listen to that if you want. You can find the link to it in any of the posts on MusicCityMiracles.com or obviously on our Blog Talk Radio page if that's how you found the show tonight. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to bring on Ryan Day of Big Cat Country here in just a minute to talk to him about the Jacksonville Jaguars and kind of what we can expect from them this week. Obviously, we're pretty familiar with them, playing them a couple times a year, but, you know, the team's a little bit different this year than it has been in the past, so we'll bring him in and kind of get some of his comments on that. Just real quick, starting off, a couple of notes from this week so far. Jarrell Casey hasn't practiced the last 2 days. Said he had some soreness in his lower back or some tightness, I guess is what they said. So that's something to keep an eye on. Obviously, this team needs Jarrell Casey always. I think he's probably especially important this week. I guess he's not really especially important. He's especially important every week. But, you know, this week when they need to be able to gear up and stop the run, and, you know, I think we all feel like that if they do a good job of stopping the run, that they're going to have a really good chance to win this game. Important to have him out there in that scenario. So hopefully he'll be able to get back tomorrow. I think Terry said, told me earlier before we started the show, that Mularkey said he expects him to practice tomorrow. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on. And then Wesley Woodyard missed on Wednesday. He was sick, but he was back today, so should be good. Another guy that's, you know, pretty crucially important in run support. So good to hear that he was back out there. And LaShawn Simmons practiced the last 2 days. So it's another Titans should be pretty healthy for this game. Real quick, Terry, before we bring Ryan on, there's a lot of talk this week about this being a must-win game for the Titans. And, you know, I won't go as far to call it a must-win game. Because I think there are, you know, very few of those in a season. But I do think it is crucially important for them to win this game. I think if they want to win this division, if they want to be a team that's considered, like most people thought that they were going to be considered at the beginning of the year, you know, a team that's a contender in the AFC, they need to sweep the Jaguars this year. I don't think that that's crazy to say. It's been a long time since they've won in Jacksonville. It's been a really long time since they've swept this season series. So, what were your thoughts on that? Would you call this a must-win game? How important do you think this game is for the Titans, being that it's week two?
It's hard to say because the schedule softens up so much late. You know, November, December, it's a lot easier than what the Titans are going through right now. So, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars always played the Titans well. They've won a game in the series dating back all the way through 2009. Last time the Titans swept the Jaguars was in 2008. And, you know, for whatever reason, the Titans have had a really hard time down in Jacksonville lately. So I don't know. It's such a different game. The past few Jaguars games have been, you know, we're kind of worried about Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns kind of burning us deep. I don't think that's what's going to happen, and we'll get into that a little later on, but it's going to be a different game. You know, they're going to give Fournette 25 touches. They're going to try and win in the trenches. They're going to win with defense. So I'm interested to see kind of this new game plan of the Jaguars and if it's sustainable. You know, you might – they're trying to hide Blake Bortles, essentially, is what I took away from week one. So, you know, we'll see if that's a formidable game plan going forward and something that they can win with. You know, they're kind of like the Titans from last year, taking their interim head coach and in Doug Marrone and kind of flipping the script and turning around, and they look pretty successful early on. So we'll see if they can kind of replicate what the Titans did last year.
Absolutely. So with all that being said, we will bring in Ryan Day from BigCatCountry.com. Ryan, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
We're doing well. Sorry to tear you away from this super exciting Thursday night football game, but thought we would bring you in here and get, you know, kind of your perspective on the Jaguars and what you expect from them this season. First thing for me, you know, obviously Jaguars went into Houston in week one and just put it on the Texans. I mean, you know, dominated that game from start to finish. Were you surprised that the game went the way that it did?
No. I mean, Doug Marone's always been my guy. Always believed in Blake Bortles. If you've read anything on Big Cat Country, you know we're, you know, big fans of what's going on. And if your listeners can't tell, I'm using sarcasm. Sorry, I can't translate that well. But we had every reason to believe this was a, you know, 4-12 Jaguars team walking into the season. And somehow our defense played, you know, like the 85 Bears. Our offensive line played like they were, you know, the Jaguars of the mid-2000s. And Blake Bortles didn't screw up, which are three things we thought, you know, would not happen this game. So, I mean, like, against the Titans, I've got no expectations. Like, was week one a fluke? Going against a team with a much better offensive line, a much better run game, like, what's this look like? I really have no idea as a Jaguars fan.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Is this game plan sustainable? You know, it's hard to answer after week one, but it seems to me like Jacksonville's got a pretty clear plan. You know, they're just going to kind of hide Blake Bortles, and especially now with Allen Robinson out, they're just going to pound the rock and see what happens and let the defense play. Is that something you feel confident in? Is that probably their best bet right now?
Well, I mean, we're 1-0 doing it. So, you know, that's better than 16 teams in the league right now. Quite honestly, like, we thought before the season, if Blake Bortles went 50% passing, had like 150 yards a game, and didn't turn the ball over, we'd win 9 or 10 games. But we had no reason to believe that would actually happen. So week one, that did actually happen. Leonard Fournette played like, you know, a 4-year NFL veteran. You know, got 100 yards, got 4 yards of carry, got a touchdown. I don't know how sustainable it is now to rely on your defense, you know, in this modern game. But, I mean, it's fun to watch us get wins. Like, we've lost so many games over the last few years. I'm really happy to be, you know, kind of confused about what the Jaguars are doing and winning games rather than confused and losing games.
All right, and so, I mean, obviously the strength of this team is the defense. You know, they've invested a lot in the defense, draft picks, you know, free agent signings, that kind of stuff over the last couple of years. Dante Fowler, a guy that I was in love with that people would be giving me a hard time about because, you know, he was injured his first year and I guess didn't play up to, you know, I guess maybe expectations last year. But kind of talk about the defense. I mean, how good are they? I mean, I know you said they played like the 85 Bears in week one, and you know, I mean, I'm sure you're probably not expecting them to be the 85 Bears. But, I mean, if you look up and down the defensive roster, in my opinion, you've got one of the most talented groups in the league. How good do you think they are?
Well, I mean, first, I'm expecting them to play like the 85 Bears until they don't. They did last week. If they don't this week, then, you know, we'll see that going forward. But as far as the defense goes, like, I mean, Jalen Ramsey's like an absolute baller. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback, A.J. Boye. You know, he had some penalties against DeAndre Hopkins, and they had to put Ramsey against him, you know, after he kind of messed up once or twice. But, I mean, this defense is definitely going to carry us this year. It's really a matter of when can the offense catch up, and not even catch up, more like when can the offense do enough to where the defense doesn't have to, you know, get 10 sacks, a touchdown, a couple of interceptions. Like when is the offense going to catch up to not make the defense have to play elite level to win a game?
that offense catches up. Leonard Fournette's obviously going to be a big part of that. If you would kind of break down what you've seen, and not only in the first game, kind of out of preseason training camp, what have y'all seen out of him, and is he going to be the long-term answer in that backfield?
Yeah, I mean, everything we've seen so far, which is a small sample size, says that Leonard's the guy. And that was never really the problem going into the draft. Like, we always thought Leonard Fournette was going to be a great running back. We always just said, hey, there are greater needs at number four. We wanted a quarterback, and, you know, Deshaun Watson was probably the consensus guy around BCC, and, you know, he's tearing it up on Thursday Night Football right now. So, I mean, as long as Blake Bortles gets between 50 and 60% completion percentage, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, I think this Jaguars team wins, you know, 9 or 10 games.
Oh, 9 or 10 games. That's that's a bold projection. And again, you know, to me, this is something that it seems like for a couple of years now, people have been saying this is the year the Jaguars take that huge, the Jaguars take that step forward. I mean, just from the outside looking in, it looks like it's been Bortles that is really holding the team back. They picked up his fifth-year option, obviously. What do you think the odds are that Bortles is the quarterback kind of going on past this rookie contract?
I mean, it really depends on this season. I didn't expect him to play that well week one. I fully expected him to get benched or, you know, Chad Henne starting week one. I think for him to be playing, you know, past this year, he'll just have to do more of the same that he did in week one, which is not turn the ball over, you know, get, you know, decent completion percentage, just manage the game. And as long as the offensive line is playing the way it did and gets against the Texans, which was completely lights out. Like, I mean, they didn't allow a sack. They, you know, allowed Bortles enough time to, you know, complete some pivotal third down conversions and, you know, clear the way for Leonard Fournette and Chris Ivory. I really think that's what it's going to take. Is it's not so much about Bortles, it's about the people around him. You know, can the people around Bortles allow him to manage a game? And sadly, that's kind of where we're at. We're not looking at, you know, franchise quarterback, you know, metrics or anything like that. It's, you know, if Bortles signs a second-year contract, it's because the team around him allowed him to perform at a level that made the front office a little cautious to use a first-round pick on a quarterback.
Allen Robinson went down last week with a torn ACL. Is that as big of a loss as an outsider like us believes it to be? Or are you pretty confident in Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns kind of filling that void?
I mean, so my question to y'all would be, who do y'all think is the best player on the Titans offense?
Marcus Mariota.
Okay, so if he went down for the season, how confident would y'all be? Because that's really what we're looking at. A-Rob was the most talented player on this Jaguars offense, like bar none, and he's gone. So, yeah, other receivers, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, they can try and fill in. I think Marquise Lee is probably going to get more touches this year than Allen Hurns does. I think they keep Hurns in the slot like they plan to do. But, I mean, he was the best player on the Jaguars offense going into the season. So to have him go down, that's awful. Do I expect Marquise Lee or Allen Hurns or Dede Westbrook in, you know, week 9 when he can come back from IR to fill in that gap fully? No, I don't. But can they do enough to where A-Rob's, you know, not miss that much? It really depends on the next couple of games, and that starts with the Titans. Like, the Texans game can be an anomaly. Like, it could be just, you know, a random week one, you know, wild card game. But if we see week two, they do much of the same against the Titans, who are a better team. I mean, let's be frank, the Titans have a much better roster than the Texans do. If they do much of the same against the Titans this week, then I'll start to believe.
You mentioned Jalen Ramsey earlier. You know, he's a kid that's from Middle Tennessee, so we were all familiar with him, and a lot of us were hoping that he ended up with the Titans. Is he ready to be mentioned as one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL?
I mean, Deion Sanders made a point to FaceTime him after the game. I don't think Jalen's going to be the best in the game. I think there are a couple things, you know, kind of holding him back. I don't think he can, you know, pick the ball off as well as, you know, the top tier cornerbacks. He doesn't have as good hands, but his coverage skills are completely unmatched. I think Jalen's coverage skills are, you know, first tier in the NFL, and I think that as long as the Jaguars defense allows for him to, you know, to play up his strengths, which are, you know, masking the number one guy and not, you know, allowing the number one guy to get production, I think he's going to be talked about in those first tier circles.
Staying with the defense, Miles Jack, kind of a lightning rod in draft circles when he came out. I know he looked pretty good last week. I know that hasn't necessarily been the case throughout his young NFL career. What's his progress looking like? Is he a long-term answer for the Jaguars?
I mean, Miles Jack played better in week one. He had more production in week one than he did all the 2016 season. And in the preseason, Miles Jack did not look like he had it mentally. Like, athletically, yeah, Miles Jack is a great player. He was a first-round guy until he, you know, got that injury. Can he athletically do it on the field? Yeah. Mentally was the only question. And in the preseason, we didn't see it. They kept talking about moving, you know, Paul Klesluzny back to middle linebacker and, you know, maybe sharing some pre-call duties and stuff like that. But Miles Jack played absolutely lights out. And if it wasn't for a silly defensive penalty against Yannick Ngakoue, Miles Jack probably would have been the star of week one because he got that interception. And he had 14 tackles, probably an interception if it wasn't for a defensive penalty. Like, I mean, Miles Jack played lights out. So can he be the guy of the future? Like, did he push pause to only 8 snaps against the Texans? Yes. I think the answer is yes to both of those.
Okay, so a lot was made in the offseason of Tom Coughlin joining this franchise. What is his role, and how important do you think he is to, you know, I guess the next phase of what the Jaguars will be?
I mean, Tom Coughlin's role is very tricky. It's kind of a confusing thing even to Jaguars fans because we hired our head coach. We hired Doug Marrone before we hired his boss. So Tom Coughlin's duties officially are he's leading the front office. He's leading football operations. But he's down on the field every training camp. He's up in the booth watching, you know, every play for preseason games in week one. Tom Coughlin's role is probably just reinforcing what Doug Marrone is saying. And both of them are very much the game begins and ends in the trenches. The offensive line and defensive line are the two most important units on a team. And in week one, they played lights out. So if they can continue to do that, then Tom Coughlin, I think, will be looked at favorably. Now, if the offensive line, you know, starts to kind of go downhill like we thought it would in the preseason, then, you know, we'll probably look back and say, hey, we should have hired someone who had a grasp on maybe skill players or who would have pulled the trigger on a quarterback. But as of now, you know, after one game, and it's only one game, Tom Coughlin's mentality and his perspective and philosophy on football is totally working out.
Let's go back to the Marrone hire. It was kind of eerie how similar it was to the Mularkey hire by the Titans. How was that received by the fan base? I know the Mularkey hire was not received well here. People were livid when it happened. Was it kind of the same deal in Jacksonville with Marrone?
Oh, I mean, the Mularkey hire wasn't well received in Jacksonville either. As far as Marrone getting promoted to head coach, we were I mean, I think in the back of our head, we always expected that to happen. We always expected the Jaguars to just the safe option and go with the guy who had been with the team for a couple of years. At the time, we thought it was a big mistake through training camp, through preseason, when we saw Marone just kind of floundering out there. I mean, he had a quarterback competition in week three of the preseason. Like, I mean, that's how we felt about Doug Marone. And he's pulling Blake Bortles in practices. Like, he's benching Blake Bortles in just straight-up closed practices. But, again, we have to eat crow. Like, everyone who, you know, was down on Marone as a head coach going into the season, we look back and we say, all right, we went on the road. We won by 22 to a team that had the whole nation behind them because of Hurricane Harvey. You know, had a great front seven in Watt, Merciless, you know, all them. And, you know, again, after 1 week, we kind of have to say maybe Marone wasn't a bad hire.
Give us a player or two that you think will have a big impact on this game, or just some type of impact on this game that we're not familiar with. I mean, we obviously see this team twice a year, so there's a lot of guys that we know the names of. But who's kind of a newcomer or somebody that emerged in week one that we're maybe not as familiar with as we are some other guys?
I'd probably say Avery Jones. Avery Jones is our, you know, nose tackle. He's our interior guy when we need to stop the run and maybe provide a little bit of pass rush. I guess my question to y'all, because I didn't watch the Titans-Raiders game, so I don't know where the Titans are after 1 week. So my question to y'all would be, I mean, what can the Jaguars, or if you were the Jaguars coordinators, if you were the Jaguars offensive and defensive coordinators, what would y'all exploit on the Titans team?
Well, the funny thing is, so far, the Titans' offensive line has been bad. You know, and they were really good last year, you know, probably top two or three in the league. Didn't look good in the preseason, but, you know, we all wanted to dismiss it as just being the preseason because it's the exact same group. There's been absolutely no turnover from last year to this year. But for whatever reason, they didn't look very good against the Raiders, against a defense that's not really supposed to be that good. Maybe they're better than people think. But, I mean, right now I would say whatever you can do up front to disrupt, and it may not be as tough as you might think. So, I mean, as far as attacking, that's what I would do, you know, and kind of – I don't even know if you need to stack the box at this point, but stack the box and make them hit some throws on the outside when you got those two corners that can lock up outside. But, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I think we're worried about from an offensive perspective right now is the offensive line and kind of what's going on there. Defensively, throw the ball. I mean, you know, I guess this is why I think we're probably pretty confident about this game, is because our weakness on defense kind of lines up with the Jaguars' weakness on offense. The Titans have been pretty good at stopping the run. They're pretty good up front. But their corners are still, the secondary is just still a little bit shaky. I think it's better than it was last year, but still not where we kind of hoped it would be. And you know, the Raiders were able to make some big plays, hit some big plays last week, and they did okay. I mean, you know, Derek Carr threw for 260, something like that, which was, you know, a good day, but not a huge day. But I mean, big plays down the field, I think, would be the things that we're the most concerned about from a defensive perspective.
Well, I mean, then the answer is Marquise Lee on offense. I think Avery Jones is going to have a good game. I mean, Calais Campbell is not a player that you don't know because he had a franchise record 4 sacks in his debut. So I think defensive line is going to be good. If you're telling me the offensive line is underperforming, then again, the defensive line is going to do great. And I think Avery Jones, 95, is a player you need to – look out for. On offense, I would say if big play is what y'all are scared about, then Marquise Lee is the guy you need to watch. Number 11. They took some shots actually with Marquise Lee against the Texans, and you know, we drew a very important pass interference penalty on a third down, and we took a couple more shots against the Texans D. Even with Blake Bortles under center, we took some shots. So I would say on defense, Avery Jones, on offense, Marquise Lee.
While we got you, we got to ask you about Jonathan Cyprien. He's not going to play this week. He's got a hamstring. Titans fans were
good for you.
Yeah, he was. Titans fans were pretty excited about getting him, and I think it was just the excitement of free agency more than anything.
Yeah.
But I saw the signing, and I had seen what you guys were saying about him. I was like, eh, we'll see about that. But it kind of gives Titans fans a snapshot of who he is. You know, he came out and he missed, you know, three or four tackles last week and just wasn't very good. So give us a quick scouting report on him for the ongoing season.
Quick scouting report, he's bad. Cyprien is very bad. He doesn't he failed geometry, I guess, like 3 years in a row. He doesn't take good angles. He doesn't know how to tackle. He doesn't know how to cover. He's a very bad safety, and I have no idea why he is still a starter in this league. That is your quick scouting report on Jonathan Cyprien.
There you go. Short to the point. All right. Well, Ryan, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. I guess on the way out, give us your prediction how you see this game going on Sunday.
I think a lot of Jaguars fans are riding high against the Texans. They are hoping for, you know, a two-score win at home against the Titans. We kind of blew y'all out week 16 last year, and they're kind of hoping that'll be the game. And unless we, you know, blow out Mariota's knee like we did last year, that's not going to be the game. This game is going to be a lower scoring game. This is going to be probably a 3 or 6 point win by whoever wins. And you know what? I got to believe. I got to believe in Blake and Doug and this defense, and I got to think that the Jaguars win, let's say, 20-14.
That's a good deal. One more thing that I should ask you this from the beginning. Do you live in the Jacksonville area?
No. I live in Tallahassee, about two and a half hours west. I grew up in Jacksonville. Parents went to the inaugural game in 95 and, you know, grew up. Y'all were, you know, my biggest heartbreak in 99 when y'all came to Jacksonville and just, you know, stomped us. Kevin Dyson's third quarter, you know, return for a touchdown just absolutely took the air out of the entire city. We want to see y'all get stomped. We want this to be, you know, 70-0 win. Like, we really do. We hate the Titans. Like, we didn't think the AFC South – I mean, the AFC South is kind of, like, made up of leftovers of other divisions when you think about it. Like, the AFC North, they kind of kept the AFC Central, AFC, you know, East, AFC West. Like, they kind of kept all their divisions. But when they needed to make the South, they were like, all right, who are the kind of redheaded stepchilds of all the other divisions? So they, just put the Colts, they put the Titans, they put the Jaguars and the Texans together. And, you know, we didn't really have a very big rival until 99. And we just want to see y'all get stomped. I mean, no offense, but we want to see y'all go 0-16. We want to see y'all on your fourth string quarterback. We want to see, you know, we just want to see everything wrong happen to y'all's franchise.
That's awesome. Anyway, you say everybody in your family good through the storm and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville got hit really hard. My parents sent me a photo. Their sunroom, their like living room sunroom was flooded. It looked like a couple inches of water got in there. Tallahassee did not get hit at all. Like, we didn't even lose electricity. My house didn't. And we're the first to lose electricity on our block. So if we didn't lose electricity, then the storm wasn't that bad. Took a good turn east before it hit us, and then, you know, west afterwards. So my family's good in Tallahassee. Jacksonville, not so lucky, you know. A lot of people are still without electricity, still without power. And so, you know, and Shad Khan, I mean, not to take up too much time, but Shad Khan, is donating 5,000 tickets to this game to first responders, people affected by Hurricane Irma. So that's a really cool thing to see. And I'd love to see a packed house cheer on a Jaguars win by about 50 this weekend.
There you go. All right. Well, Ryan, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight, and we will try to catch up to you again when these teams play again later on in the season.
Yeah, when we're four games up in the division. Yeah, I appreciate it.
There you go. Gotta love the hype, man. All right. Well, we'll catch up with you then. All right, so that was Ryan Day of BigCatCountry.com. Obviously, his second favorite team is the Titans. So it's good to have him on. And it was Derek Mason that returned the punt, not Kevin Dyson. I'll never forget that. I was a little senior in high school and had a bunch of friends over watching the game in my parents' basement, you know, blogger in my parents' basement, right? But anyway, that's like the biggest dog pile, because that was what, you know, put that game out of reach. You were probably like four. You don't remember it, Terry, but it was awesome, man. That season was so much fun, and that being a part of all that of the energy in the city. And for those of you who don't necessarily maybe remember that, it was very similar to what we had with the Predators this past summer. Just, you know, everybody, that's all anybody wanted to talk about was the Titans and everybody in the whole city behind them and stuff. That was really cool, and hopefully we can get to that place again. That was an interesting conversation. You know, we've had – there was somebody that – the person that ran Big Cat Country before Alfie. Alfie's the one that's actually in charge of it now, who I don't necessarily get along with. But Ryan's good. I enjoy having him on, and you know, all the stuff that he said. Obviously, he's, you know, but you can understand his hatred for this franchise based on those kind of things that have happened. We've had an interesting relationship with that site. And the guy that I can't even remember the guy's name now, but they ran the site when it first got started. I think we kind of came on about the same time to SB Nation. Had him on, had a good relationship with him, and it's been a little tense since Alfie took over, but it was good to have Ryan on and kind of get his perspective. Are you surprised, Terry, that he is – I mean, he seems like really, really optimistic about the team. I mean, I think there's some caution there, too. I think, you know, cautiously optimistic in some ways. But, you know, he really thinks that they can hide Bortles on the way to 10 wins. Were you surprised that he was that high on the Jaguars?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I follow a lot of Jaguars fans on Twitter, and – you know, they're kind of super high when they're high, and they're super low when they're low, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah. And when you're a beaten down franchise like that, just the slightest good game gives you so much hope and optimism. So, and we've been there before, you know, before last year, and that was us. So I'm not surprised, and it was exciting to be a Jaguars fan last week and watch just total domination and destruction of Houston. It was just crazy and kind of unheard of to watch that happen. So can they win 10 with Bortles at the helm? No, they can't. I don't see any way possible. You know, all the new personnel, you know, it's going to take a couple games on tape to kind of adjust, but I think they'll come back down to the mean. But I think we can both agree that they're better on paper. Now, will that translate to more wins down the road? I think it might translate to two or three. I'm not buying the 10-win talk, though.
Well, here's what I know about the Jaguars. I mean, you know, Blake Bortles is terrible. And, I mean, I think everybody that has eyes agrees on that. But at the same time, you know, they were hammering the Titans last year in that game, even before Marcus Mariota got hurt. The Titans weren't going to win that game, even if Mariota didn't get hurt. So for all the talk of, and if you go back and look at the first matchup between the Titans and Jaguars last year, Blake Bortles threw for over 300 yards. Now, again, it was, you know, classic Blake Bortles. Titans got up to a huge lead, played soft coverage, but the Jaguars ended up almost making it a game at the end because, you know, Bortles kind of got rolling in that junk time, and they, you know, a couple things happened, and, you know, the Titans still won and won pretty comfortably, but it was a lot more uncomfortable in the end than it should have been. So, I mean, I think he played better against the Titans than he has against most other teams in the NFL. You know, we like to make fun of him. And I do think that it's better for the Titans. The longer that Blake Bortles is the quarterback there, the better it is for the Titans. But at the same time, the Titans have not had a whole lot of success against them. Part of that's been because their secondary has been so, so bad that, you know, even Blake Bortles can complete passes against them. But, I'm with you. I don't see any way that with having him back there, because I really think that I think the Titans are going to be able to stop Leonard Fournette. I think Leonard Fournette is a very good running back. You've seen his plays from college. I mean, he was a beast. But obviously, you know, being an Alabama fan, Alabama did everything they could to take Leonard Fournette away, and they were able to do it. He's not Barry Sanders. So I think that the Titans are going to be able to scheme up enough that they're going to make Bortles make some throws to beat them. The other thing that, you know, obviously from that game that we didn't get into maybe as much was the turnovers from the Texans. You know, given the Jaguars' offensive short field, all that kind of stuff, I think we have, you know, pretty good confidence in Marcus Mariota that he's not going to do that. And so I think if the Titans can kind of stay on their game script here, can even if they just play field position and make the Jaguars sustain some drives, I really don't see the Jaguars scoring more than, you know, what, 14, 17 points?
Yeah, and I've got them down for 16. It's going to be one of those games where you pull out all the old cliches. You know, don't turn the ball over, stop the run. It's simple. Play simple football, and Titans should win this. You know, like Ryan said, the Titans are the more talented team out there. But for whatever reason, weird things just tend to happen in Jacksonville. Titans just come out flat. At least they have, it seems like, the past two or three times. I don't think they've won there since, 2013? Don't quote me on that, but I think that's the last time they won down there. So it's just weird. The Titans and Jaguars are pretty much 500 for the past decade, which is kind of eye-opening when you think about how bad the Jaguars have been. But, the Titans, this is a game that they should win. And it's a game that, you know, if you want to make the playoffs, you're probably going to have to pull this one. We talked about being better in the division. It starts this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I made a qualifier team on DraftKings earlier today with a Bortles Marquise Lee stack. Part of it's because they're both ridiculously cheap. And so it allows you to fit some other stuff in there, and nobody's going to have it. So, you know, from that standpoint. But part of it's because we've seen what Bortles has done against this team in the past. And so you just don't necessarily have the confidence, in the defense to be able to go there and shut them down. But you're absolutely right. I mean, they've got the AFC South is not a very good division, especially with, you know, Andrew Luck being out for the Colts. I really don't see very many of these teams finishing above 500. And so the Titans have got to be able to make some hay in the division if they want to be where they hope to be at the end of the year. And that's a serious playoff contending team. And like you said, they haven't, for whatever reason, they did win there in 2013. I just looked that up. I don't know if that's the last time, but they did win there that year. But division games have given them problems. When you look at all these games against these two-win Jaguars teams they've lost, even in a couple of years where they were pretty good. You think about the Colts year, the year that Peyton was out that led to the Colts having the first overall pick and getting Andrew Luck. The Titans lost to the Colts that year. And that was the year the Titans were in what ended up 9-7. If they win that game against the Colts, they go to the playoffs. So there has been a lot of flat performances in the division, and you know that's something that obviously they're very well aware of. They've talked a lot about, but they've got to change that in order to win the division and again to get to where they want to be. The other thing that I said, it's weird to be where we are and to have the offensive line be a pretty big concern at this point, because they haven't looked good. They didn't look good against the Raiders. They didn't look good all preseason. I wonder if they don't come out here and try to make an effort early on to get DeMarco Murray going. Didn't have a good game against the Raiders. He didn't get as many touches as I think we all kind of expected him to get. So I won't be surprised if that's something that you see the Titans make a conscious effort to do early on, is to establish the run game before they start, you know, kind of throwing the ball around a little bit more.
Yeah, and you know, if it doesn't work, and this is kind of a complaint I've had since Malarkey took over, really. If the run game isn't working, don't be afraid to throw out, you know, four receiver sets. You've got the personnel to do it. And spread the ball out, you know, spread it around, open things up, you know, get that box, get those safeties out of the box, you know, get those linebackers off the field, and then hand it to DeMarco Murray, you know, out of shotgun. Just do something different. It seems like, you know, when Malarkey wants to run the ball, it always seems like he puts out that jumbo package, two and three tight end set, and tells you, hey, I'm going to run the football right at you. I'd just like to see them kind of evolve a little bit. And I don't know if you've got if you've had the same observation as I have, but they just seem to kind of telegraph what they want to do. And they throw in some option stuff, some triple options, some read options, some RPOs, but I feel like they want to be just a run down your throat team, but I wish they'd be a little more creative about it. And that's just one little constructive criticism I've got so far on this team.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like you said, it does seem like at times that they're not very creative in their run calls. You know, and Terry Rubisky, his play calling to me is weird. You know, I know everybody wants it fired and, you know, whatever. But, like, there's a lot of times where I can't seem to figure out what he's doing. And then there are times where he tries to get cute where it doesn't really make sense to try to get cute in that scenario. So it's bad sometimes, but it's even in times when I think it's pretty good, it's still confusing in those same times. So I'm with you. And you know, something that I think it was Mickey Ryan of 104.5 that tweeted out something about I should have looked this up, but the number of pass attempts that Marcus Mariota gets. He's a guy that needs to get in rhythm. And so while I do think it would be wise for them to come out and establish something on the ground, like you're saying, I think that at some point before the end of the second quarter, if that's not working, if running into that wall is what we're seeing again, like you said, go ahead and spread it out and try to get him in, try to get Marcus in a rhythm, because I really do think that a lot of the time the Titans get in these funks, and it's because they're trying to establish the run. They try so hard. They have a bunch of three and outs because Marcus is just not he's a rhythm thrower. He needs to get in that. And so when you're running first down, running second down, then you have third and seven, third and six, whatever, it's not working. He misses a throw. Then you come out and do the same thing the next drive. It seems like it takes him a while to kind of get back geared up into the game. So I would really like to see them, even if they're having success on the ground, run a two-minute offense or something like that. I mean, not necessarily, you know, hurry up, but no huddle or something, just to get Marcus in a rhythm early on and kind of get him settled down, then establish a run and see what you can do against this defense. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how they attack this Jaguars defense, because the Jaguars defense is really good. And, you know, I don't like to give them credit for really anything, but the defense is really good. I mean, you look at the guys that they got on that side of the ball. It's a bunch of really talented guys. It's a bunch of high draft picks, big ticket free agent guys. You know, and that stuff doesn't always work, but it looked, at least for a week, like it was coming together. So this is going to be a pretty significant challenge for this offense.
I agree 100% with just about everything you said. And, you know, we're in an interesting spot. We were so high on the Titans, and we still are. But what happens if they fall to 0-2 and lose to the Jaguars? Like, we've already seen tweets and Facebook posts calling for Mike Malarkey's job. What happens if they go 0-2? How's the fan base going to take that? You know, I think you're going to have to – you would definitely have to fire up the Titans Facebook post again. Those are always great. But I'm just kind of interested to see – you know, the pulse of this fan base after expecting to go 13-3, what happens if you go 0-2?
Oh, it's not going to be pretty, like you said. And there will be Malarkey, Rubisky, Dick LeBeau. I mean, they'll want everybody out. I don't think they'll start calling for John Robinson's job just yet, but I don't know that it'll be very far from happening. So, yeah, it will be interesting. And hopefully that's not something we have to suffer through, because 2-0, I mean, 0-2 is not, it's not the end of the world, but it does really put them in a bad spot. and it really does make the Seattle game and the Houston game games they really, really need to win. Again, you can't call them must win because it's so early in the season. But starting 1-3 or 0-4, obviously, I think would be a pretty big disaster. So it is an important game for them to go in there and get. And like you said, the Titans are the better team here. You know, I think that the Jaguars are probably better on defense. Jaguars absolutely are better on defense. But, you know, offensively, the quarterback, I mean, I still even say running back, receivers, especially with Allen Robinson not being there. The Titans have the advantage in all those spots on offense. And so they need to be able to go down there and win this game. And, again, if nothing else, just to say, look, this team is different. We're not going to have huge letdowns this year in the division. We're going to take care of our business that we need to take care of. Week one was a fluke. That's not us. This is us. That's really what I think is important, what we need to see this week. I think they're going to win. I do think it's going to be an ugly game. But, I mean, I think you're looking at something like a – I can't remember what I said, 2013, something like that, I think is what we see here. And I think that the Titans look like the better team from start to finish. Now, last week I picked the Titans to win. You picked them to lose. Where are you laying this time?
I'm going Titans 20-16. We're close on that score. I think it's a lot of field goals. You see plenty of punts. I think it's, again, an ugly game. But, you know, I just kind of feel like the Titans find a way here and kind of call it a gut. But seeing Jacksonville start 0-2 would really just be too weird. and for the Titans to start 0-2 would be pretty odd too. So I think both teams kind of come back to the mean, if you will. Jaguars will go down a little. Titans will come back up. And again, it's like we said last week, it's going to take time for the Titans to come together. You know, Marcus Mariota is working with Eric Decker and Corey Davis and DeMarco Murray and all those guys together for the second time this Sunday all year. So, like I said last week, I was preaching patience. You know, I did say the Titans would lose last week, and you know, we saw it happen. But I think the Titans kind of start to come out of it, and I've got them winning by 4 in Jacksonville.
Sounds great. All right. Well, Terry, thanks as always for joining me.
All right, thanks for having me.
Yep, and we will we'll get a podcast up either Sunday night or Monday, recapping this game, and obviously we'll have a lot more. MissingMiracles.com. So check out the site between now and then. As always, thanks to Terry for joining. Thanks to Ryan Day of BigCatCountry.com. Check them out this week too for everything that you need to know about the Jacksonville Jaguars. For Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you after the game on Sunday.